What I want you to do, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today, and I've got a lesson for all of us today in the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you, you know, the title of it is Quid Pro Quo. How many of you heard that word? If you've watched any kind of politics, you definitely know what that word is now. And I'm going to be talking about God's quid pro quo, but I want to, first of all, and I shared this at the beginning of service today, but I want to share my burden today for where this message came from. We're living in a day and an hour where there is so much divisiveness going on, division, and it's in our world, it's in our nation, it's creeping into the church, and as a pastor, I want to keep it out of this church, amen? And keep it out of the big C, the body of Christ, the big church as well. But I mean, just over the last several months, over this last year, guys, we've seen all the division between Republican and Democrat. We've seen it. And I heard a pastor say this, and I can't agree with him more. He said, when you see division change, you know, like every week it changes, then you know that there's a demonic force behind it. And so we've seen Republican, we've seen Democrat, we've seen black, white, we've seen whether you're wearing a mask or not, we've seen whether you're vaccinated or not, and all this division is not helping anything. In fact, division comes before a fall, and there's this demonic division in this nation, and it's in the church too, guys. This whole nation is under a spirit of fear. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And it's time for Christians, we've got to stand up. We have to be in the right motive, the right heart and everything, but we have got to stand up and speak in this hour. This is where my burden's at this morning, and I'm just going to share something that happened to me. Over these last 2 weeks, we went on a family vacation. We went to Florida, spent some time on the beach. We took grandkids, so we were trying to get a two-year-old and a seven-month-old through the airport. That was fun. And we got on an airplane, and I became aware of the grip of fear over this nation. And you know I can't remember what state we were in because we had different layovers and stuff on all of our flights. But we got on this plane, and I'm strapping in. I was the guy that the pack mule hauling the car seat for Jarek to put in his seat, and I'm putting it in his seat, and he gets in his seat, and we get him strapped in. And I'm trying to stuff luggage up over the top of the seats, and Jarek starts coughing. Okay, let me tell you, he's 2 years old. And all of a sudden, I felt tension in the plane and everybody around us. Nobody said anything, but you could just feel the tension. You could feel the fear. Yeah, you could feel it. And I looked around, there was older people, and they were like, whose kid is that? Somebody tell him to cover his mouth. He's 2 years old. He ain't going to cover his mouth. I've got snot and stuff all over me, you know, from hauling him through the airport. I sit down in my seat. I didn't say anything, but I sit down in my seat, and I was like, God, help us. Because 2 years ago, these older people that were around us would have been making over him because he's a cute little kid. He's my grandson, by the way. He's a cute little kid. They would have been making over him and even kissing on him. But it was like everybody was sitting. They weren't doing this, but it was like this. Everybody, and you could just feel the fear and feel the tension. And I'm like, God, help us. God, help. And so this is where my burden's at, because what's happening, what God began to show me as I was praying about that, and I was like, God, what do I need to do as a pastor in teaching our church? And the Lord began to take me even deeper in this than what all the divisiveness that we see on the outside, and he was showing me the divisiveness that's on the inside of us. And he said, Mark, the enemy is doing a great job of putting division within the minds of my people so that they will not let the Holy Spirit do his deep work in their lives. Now, I'm going to get into this today. This is going to be a series. I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm going to be teaching on the great exchange, what actually happened to us when we got saved, from the old creation to the new creation, okay? A lot of times we think, we're going to get more into this. I'm not going to get really in depth with this today, But a lot of times we get saved and we say we have two natures. We still have a flesh and then we have the spirit, okay? And what I want to teach us today is when you get saved, you're saved and you're walking in the spirit. You're not walking in the flesh anymore. And sometimes as a Christian, as I'm going to talk Christianese here for a little bit. Sometimes when we slip up and we do something wrong, we say, oh, I got over in the flesh, you know. Well, how can you go back to the flesh when you got saved in the spirit? Everybody follow me? And so we got to train our minds to think, I'm saved. I'm a new creation in Christ. There's none of this going back and forth. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Mark, then what do we call that when we get over in the flesh? I'm going to give you another way to think about it, all right? Because we're renewing our minds according to the Word of God. Whenever we get over in the flesh, what we call getting over in the flesh in our Christianese language, that's a step of stupid. That'll help you not do it anymore, okay? That's just a stupid step. I just made a stupid step. I know better than that. I'm supposed to be walking in the Spirit, all right? I just made a stupid step. And so that's going to help you. I know that's really elementary, but that's going to help you understand what I'm going to bring today so that we can start living in this new creation life. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And first of all, I want to tell you what quid pro quo means. I should have probably titled this something else because that's hard to say. That's like that's a tongue twister sometimes, quid pro quo. But it's a Latin expression which means an equal exchange or a this for that. It speaks of something that is given or received for something else. It can also be expressed, if you will, then I will. It also is a legal term that lawyers and politicians use to impress people, and we've seen that for sure. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, we're going to look at God's great exchange. And this is God's quid pro quo, and I promise you we're on the better end of it, all right? And it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, most of you, you've been in church any length of time, you've heard these scriptures before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So every one of us in here have this ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, talking about Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm telling you guys, you need to just take that home and meditate on that. There's so much, the great exchange is all through that, what God did for us in Christ. And some of this is very elementary if you've been in church for any length of time, but I felt like that this is something that we all need to be taught, even if you've been in church for 30, 40 years. But here's what happens. When a person is without Christ, they're like a telephone pole. Okay? I'm going to explain that. They're without life. They're already perishing. I'm going to give you an example, and this is going to be, I hope it's funny to you, to get this mental picture of somebody watering a telephone pole. Okay? And they go out there faithfully, religiously every day and water it. And water it. And they even sprinkle fertilizer around it. And they water it and water it. And you finally drive by on a day and you see them doing this. And you stop by and you say, why are you doing this? And they say, because I want this telephone pole to produce fruit. Your response is, you can do that until the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl again. And it's not going, and they're not, Lord forgive me, and they're not, and that's not going to produce fruit, right? That is never going to produce fruit. And yet there's a lot of people doing that. They're trying to impress God with all their religious traditions and their do's and don'ts and their regulations and all that to produce fruit. And you can't do it. You're going to have to plant a whole new tree. A whole new creation to produce fruit. That's what happened to you when you got saved. That's what happened when you got saved. You were, before you got saved, you were a telephone pole. Okay? Then you got saved, and God, you're a whole new creation that can produce fruit now. You're not a telephone pole. You're a whole new creation. All right, look at somebody and say, you're not a telephone pole. There is no such thing as a fruitful telephone pole. There is an inordinate number of people in the church today who actually believe they can impress God and win His acceptance and His approval if they do enough good things. Talking about performance Christianity. This mindset is deeply rooted in the flesh of every culture. Being in good standing with God is not about what we can do for Him. It's about what He's already done for us. And that's a big amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's the message of the cross. I saw somebody talking about the end times the other day, and somebody had a comment that said that, you know, that Paul talked about that back in his day. Guys, there's mockers right now going on. We're in the end times. We're closer than we were in Paul's day, I promise you. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. John 3, verses 1 through 3, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him.' And Jesus replied, 'Very, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' And this is why a person must be born from above to have life." And if you're here today and if you remember your salvation, when you had that encounter with God, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can still remember it today. I remember I walked outside. I was in a church service where this happened to me, and I walked outside and I was like, golly, I can hear the birds. I mean, it was like everything came to life. I looked down at rocks, and I was like, God made that rock for me. You know, I mean, it was just, I'm telling you, I was just overwhelmed at the love of God. And I was seeing things in a whole new light because the new creation had come into my heart and into my life. And so, guys, this is why a person must be born from above to have life. There's a lot of people that this is why Jesus said in that day, there's going to be people come up to me and say, "We did this in your name, we did this in your name," but they were telephone poles because they never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Look at somebody again and say, "Don't be a telephone pole." Okay. All right, here's the second thing underneath here. A person without Christ can learn the language of the church. I like the word Christianese. Make themselves as religiously attractive as they possibly can, but still be as empty as a deserted house. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. This is going to be kind of long, but I felt like I needed to read this, verses 1 through 20. And you'll see how Jesus combated this situation. Because you know who Jesus dealt with the most in his ministry was religious people. People that thought they knew God, that they were telephone poles, and they were trying to all do it on the outside. Okay, Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they did not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" Oh my gosh, they don't wash their hands. Verse 3 says, "He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?'" Verse 4 says, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites, this is Jesus speaking. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" There again, they're telephone poles. Verse 10 says, "When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.'" The Lord is more important. He's more concerned about what's going on the inside of you. Amen. and what clothes you wear and if you wash your hands or not. Verse 12 says, "Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" And Jesus, I'm sure, was like, "Oh, yeah." Verse 13 says, "But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted.'" He's basically saying God's are telephone poles. Verse 14 says, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And so Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" Okay, don't let me, do I have to say that any further than that? Okay, everybody got that? All right. Verse 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And everybody said, "Amen." So a person without Christ can learn the language of the church, make themselves as religiously attractive as they possibly can, but still be as empty as a deserted house. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can't say this enough. Maybe I should have entitled this message, "Are you a telephone pole?" You're a telephone pole, all right? And you want to be a tree that produces fruit. Number three here is, a person without Christ has a vacuum residing in them. You have a vacuum. And this scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11, I don't care if they're an atheist down deep in there. You know, I sit around and I like to deer hunt. And so deer season's upon us. And when I sit out in the woods and look around at stuff, I'm just amazed that people can look at creation and not think there's a creator behind this. How can you look at that and just think this just all happened by chance? Or they think, well, there was a big bang. And I'm like, well, somebody pulled the trigger, right? There might have been a big bang, but God pulled the trigger. I just don't know how people can look, you know. And what I'm trying to tell us is that even creation is crying out that there's a God, that there's a creator. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, I'm going to show you what God has put on the inside of every human being. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity," everybody say eternity, "in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Aren't you glad that God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? I can still remember that day that it happened to me. And I had nothing to do with it. The Holy Spirit drew me in. Thank God he did. And thank God I listened and obeyed. John 6, verse 35, this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" God's the one that's going to satisfy that vacuum. Everybody has that need within them. And a lot of people try to fill it with different things. You know, they try to fill it with alcohol, drugs, sex. The things that God vacuum, the only thing that can fill it is God Almighty and a relationship with him. Psalms 107, verse 9 says, "For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry in good things." Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This is our main scripture for today. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Okay. There's not an old nature and a new nature. There's just a new nature. The old is gone. Everybody say, gone. It's gone. The new has come. And you got to get this in your mindset. Humanity is into renovation, but God is all about creation. Everybody said? Amen. Okay, when you said yes to Jesus and accepted his invitation to life, you became a new creation, one that's never existed before. The Lord did not take the old you and bring you up to spiritual cold. He did not spiritually renovate you. You are a new creation. Man, this is good stuff, guys. All right, a new life, an exchange takes place the moment a person accepts Jesus' invitation to life. This is God's quid pro quo, something for something, and I promise you we got the better end of the deal. I give him me, he in return, I get him. This for that, I give him my old life. He gives me a new life. Know it or not, you became a brand new creation when you were born from above. Now, I'm going to show you a picture in nature of nature's quid pro quo. And I can promise you this is happening to us in the spiritual realm, but I want you to see this nature's quid pro quo. And it's this. It's called metamorphosis. It's when the caterpillar changes into a butterfly. That's what's happening in every one of us. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's this transformation that's going on the inside of you that God wants it to manifest on the outside of you. And everybody said, I can remember when I was substitute teaching here at school, it's been years ago, in elementary, and I can't remember who the science teacher was or what class it was, but they had several cocoons in this little cage, and they were watching them, you know, and every day the kids were like, I can see Lakin back there going, we did that. And then all the kids, and it might have been back when Lakin was in school, is all the kids would go in every day, and they were like, are they coming out yet? And they just hung there, you know. And every day it was the talk of the whole school, in elementary anyway. And I can remember coming in one day, and they came to me, and they said, Mr. Haney, one of them's quivering. And I went in there, and there was one hanging there, and it was just shaking, like it was getting ready to. And I feel like that's what the body of Christ is doing right now. We're just sitting there in our cocoon shaking. And Kent and I prayed about this morning. We need to bust out and fly, guys, and start proclaiming Christ. Here's what I feel like is going on in the spiritual realm. This is where I wanted to get to, is I feel like that we get saved and we're in this cocoon and we feel all safe, right? And so we're in our cocoons and we never bust out of them. We just stay in our cocoons until we die, and then we become the butterfly. To the point where a lot of times you'll even see this as a symbol of death as well, the butterfly. Yeah, there's going to be a day we go to heaven. But did you know that this metamorphosis, this happens? You became a butterfly when you got saved, not when you die. You became a butterfly when you got saved. Now, here's the thing, what the enemy does, and I'm going to just, this is where I wanted to get to today on this, the introduction of this new creation. The enemy does this, and I don't care. I've had the enemy lie to me about this, and I've been walking with God since I was 23. Really walking with God, I can say, since I was 23, and I'm 52 now. Going to be 52 this month, by the way. My birthday is September the 17th, by the way. Oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. Now I'm not going to receive nothing. All right, here's the what I wanted to get to about this, about the metamorphosis thing, is the reason the majority of believers can't enjoy their new creation lives is because they are still focused on the worm they used to be, their old natures. And I'm telling you what, guys, the enemy is very good at this, of convincing you that you're a worm. And so what we do is he convinces us that we're a worm, so we're just like, you know what, I'm just going to stay in my cocoon because it's nice and safe in here. I'm not doubting your salvation at all. You're saved. You're in your cocoon. You're going to go to heaven. But there's so much more in this life that God has for you. When you're saved, you're a butterfly. Everybody said, and God wants you to fly. God wants you to fly into your destinies and into your callings and not stay in that cocoon. We've got too many believers still in their cocoons thinking they're a worm because they've believed a lie of the enemy. And this is the division that the enemy does in our minds to convince us that this work that God's doing in you is not really that powerful because you're still a worm. And you need to tell the enemy, I'm not a worm, I'm a butterfly, dude. And then start acting like a butterfly. All right? Fly. Now, don't go out here and jump off a cliff, okay? Don't do that. I'm talking about just know who you are in Christ. All right? Know who you are in Christ. You are not a worm. Let him know, no, I became a butterfly when I got saved. I may not be acting like a butterfly today because I took a step of stupid and I'm acting like a worm right now, but I'm going to get out of that and start acting like a butterfly again. All right? And so whenever you understand this new creation, some people think, well, if I understand this new creation, it's going to cause me to sin more. No, it don't. It causes you to sin less because you want to please God. Amen? And so this is God's quid pro quo, guys. Look at somebody and say, you're a butterfly. This is the spiritual transformation that's going on. When a person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, a spiritual transformation takes place. Something happens on the inside of a person that can't be seen by the physical eye. If there has been a spiritual transformation, you can be assured there will be outward manifestation of it. This new life will begin to manifest through a person's character and conduct. You will start producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. You'll no longer be a telephone pole, and nobody can't tell if you're saved or not. They'll know you're saved because you're producing fruit for the kingdom of God. You're starting to look like, act like, and talk like Jesus. Does it happen overnight? No. The Holy Spirit's at this work, doing this sanctification process with you, but you have a part to play in it and working with Him. And it's more about renewing your mind and not thinking of yourself as a worm, but thinking of yourself as a butterfly. And everybody said, all right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And we always close with this, and I'm going to close with this today. It's always about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's where the spiritual transformation takes place. That's where you go from that worm to that butterfly. And it's very simple. The Apostle Paul taught us this. The great exchange is this in Romans 10. God's quid pro quo is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God, and You died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, the very next thing that you need to do, and maybe you have prayed that prayer before, but like me, I got baptized when I was 9, and I felt like at the age of 23 that I needed to do it again. If you're like that, get with me. We can do that next Sunday, get you water baptized. I have been dunked, I think, twice, how many times it takes, that's the way but if you need to do that, we can get that done next Sunday, guys. Everybody learn something today? This is a series we're going to start today called The Great Exchange, What Really Happened When You Received Jesus as Your Lord and Savior, talking about this new creation. Guys, it is more awesome than you can even wrap your head around, okay? And I'm going to try to help us wrap our minds and our hearts around it, all right? I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Father, I thank You for this great exchange that we've talked about this morning and what happened when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The old was gone, the new has come. And Lord, I pray that You bring understanding to all of us, Lord, revelation knowledge of this, wisdom and understanding. And God, if we don't understand the exchange, it's not going to make us less than a child of God. What the understanding does, the exchange will not make you more than a child of God, but knowing You more, but knowing Your creation identity will give you a broader view of and a deeper appreciation for Your identity in Christ. And God, that's what we're after today. That's what we're after in this series, God, knowing who we are in Christ, because this world desperately needs the church to fly. And so God, I thank You that we're going to be getting out of our cocoons, the old mindsets, the stinking thinking, the worm thinking, the how the enemy has convinced us that we're not good enough and we're not this and we're not that. God, we're going to take all those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and we're going to walk into our newness of life, walking in the Spirit and walking, Lord, in our new creation. And so, Lord, we just thank You for that. And I just speak that blessing over everyone here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. And if you're there with family, you can hold hands. If you're not, you don't have to hold hands. I had somebody text me a picture one time. They said, Pastor Mark, when you tell us to stand up and hold hands, I get these big old eyeballs like this. It's like, I don't like holding hands. It's okay. All right. I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You guys have an awesome week. Hug somebody's neck and say, hey, you're a new creation.